my first recollection of coffee as a child, and now that I'm thinking about this, it sounds like aggressively Canadian, and now I'm ashamed to share it, is that on Saturday mornings, I would go play hockey, but very, very early. And my father, no matter what time it was, would have to go get a coffee at Tim Hortons. And they were really, not that they're out of their brown phase, but this was even more brown than they have now. It's just brown and beige and everything had like a film on it. And he would get a coffee and they're very, you know, they say double-double, but he had one cream, no sugar. I think that was his like hip diet version of a coffee. And I just remember how he would hold it. He would put his middle finger on the bottom of the cup, underneath the cup, and then he would put his thumb on top, on the lid. And I don't know why he would hold it like that. It was very distinctive to him. And he would walk like that, and the coffee would spill out, would come out of the lid because there was so much. And then he would have to slurp it up like an anteater or something. It was a disgusting sound. It was a disgusting sight. And I found it repulsive even as a child. And I thought to myself, why don't they just fill it with less coffee? You wouldn't have this problem. Now I realize the reason he did that was to make sure he was getting his money's worth from these people. And he was fine with wasting it as long as he got it first. And then I remember it either being far too hot to drink when he wanted to drink it, or he would leave it and we'd have to get dressed and start the hockey game, and then hours later it would be there and it would be too cold to drink. And I thought, this is a very horrible system. But then I also remember my grandmother used to have cereal. She was always like, the rules did not apply to her. She was never content with the cereal that was in the box. She would have like five fucking cereals and she would mix them together in her own box. And it was like this artisanal smorgasbord of different little granola, maybe some pumpkin seeds, and there's Rice Puffs in it and almond slivers. It was a whole performance. But she would put it in this bowl and she would put coffee in it instead of milk, and the cereal would absorb the coffee, so then that would taste like coffee. And she did this so much so that we got her a cereal bowl with a mug handle on it, so she had the best of both worlds. However, she would have the cereal coffee and drink a cup of coffee at the same time. But at no time as a child did I really have coffee. It was very adult, the same way, you know, cigars are. They didn't want kids drinking coffee. I assume they still don't. Even in high school, I didn't really drink it. I was into, this also sounds very pretentious and I'm ashamed of it, Italian sodas, which was like club soda shot with whatever flavored syrup they had at this coffee shop. I don't remember really, really having coffees until like university winding down and being at home with like nothing to do, and then my mom making it. And I really got my coffee snobbery from my mother, who is very, you can't have it like this, and you have to, don't you tell the difference? So my early drinking, the snobbery, was genetically and directly imposed upon me with the French press and the pour over, and you gotta grind your beans freshly and all that business. So that's what started me there. I also remember really drinking a lot of it when I did splat a lot, because we had a lot of time on our hands and we're just bored. And not only drinking it was a good pastime, but chewing on the Starbucks cup, I felt, kept my mouth entertained. The same way, like, chewing sunflower seeds, you're not really eating them. You're just chewing them. Now I realize that the cups probably had Teflon on them, and they're horrible for my health. But nevertheless, there was a Starbucks where they used to pick us up to drive us to set, right next to the apartments where we stayed. And I had a crush on a girl who worked there. And there was this homeless gentleman that was always outside of it, and he was very nice. We'd always say hi to him in the morning. We would give him some money. And then I developed a crush on this girl, and I thought, you know what? He's right in front of the window. I'm going to give him as much money as I have and make sure that she sees it. So I gave him a lot of money. I don't think she saw it because she was busy. The woman works at Starbucks and, you know, she was working and yeah. And then I got in there. I was talking to her. I got my coffee. And then the driver came to take me to set. But I was still talking to her because I was very enamored. And the guy poked his head in and said, "Hey, buddy, your ride's here." And she thought, wow, this guy must really like him to tell him that his ride's here. Of course, missing the entire transaction, the fact that I essentially paid him to do this, which I felt terrible about afterwards. And, you know, perhaps the best coffee I ever had was maybe when I was in Tuscany. We sat in Tuscany. There was a cafe. It was breakfast. We went across the street. We bought a watermelon. And then we brought it back to the cafe. And the person who owned the cafe sliced up the watermelon for us and gave us an espresso. And it was this mix of the watermelon and the espresso that was just like, it was fantastic. I was so enamored. And of course, the worst cup I ever had. Actually, one time I had an ex-girlfriend in her mother's house. She had like Dunkin' Donuts ground coffee. And I was aghast. I could not believe that people live like that. That was a choice. That's like something you would only have at a funeral of someone you didn't like, because it's all that was there. And otherwise you would fall asleep and you don't want to fall asleep. I was just so shocked that someone would have that. And then everyone always said, "Why don't you get your own coffee? You should put out your own." And then I'm like, you know, I had anxiety about it. What else is new? Because I would look it up, and to like mass produce it or to put it out, the options that were available basically guaranteed me shitty coffee. And I would see people who did it before, and it was just, they were like these no-name generic beans. It was like coffee for people who didn't like coffee. They were just like, meh. If they didn't care about coffee, they would be interested in this. And I'm like, that's gross. That's, you know, weird. And to put my name on it, I would be upset. As a coffee person, as a person who has a steadfast opinions on coffee, I couldn't do that. It would just really inherently bother me. So for the longest time, like for years, I had thought about it and I just did not do it. And then of course, fucking, you know, Danhausen stumbled upon these nice people who are the rootless people who are amazing. And then I was like, well, fuck. Now I can't just do it immediately after him. Now I have to wait an appropriate amount of time. So after a certain, what I felt like was a decent amount of time had passed, these people spoke to me. I spoke to them. They were delightful. And it was almost absurdly easy. They were like, "This is how we do it. And this is what you need." And I was like, "Do I have to sign anything? It's a big contract." They're like, "No, this is just it." And then it was almost like too good to be true. It like frightened me. And I had their coffee before. And it was good coffee. And they said a lot of things that I like to say. And they had the ground settings that I like. And that made me very comfortable. And then, and this is the worst thing ever, I'm like, I somehow feel now embarrassed or having anxiety with like promoting my own coffee. Ironically named High Anxiety. I feel like I'm forcing it on people, which gives them the impression that the coffee is not good. Does that make any sense? I don't want to sell it too hard because it's good coffee. I always believe that the best restaurants have rude waiters because the food is so good that they can tell you to go fuck yourselves and you'll still sit there and eat because the restaurant next to it is not as good. Anytime I've gone to a restaurant and the waiter is overly nice, it's generally been bad food and a place I don't want to eat. So, you know, all that to say, yeah, it is good coffee, and so much so that I don't want to promote it too much, although I should. people should buy this. If you're gonna go money, people are giving money to fucking Dunkin' Donuts for ground coffee. Are you out of your minds? These people are very nice. You saw their faces, you know their names, and now I have my seal of approval on it. So if you're gonna give your money to another, you know, a bullshit place to drink funeral coffee out of a styrofoam cup, then spend it here. That's my sales pitch. My sales pitch is, it's good coffee, go fuck yourself. I think that should really, really ultimately drive it home, I think. And that's my anti-sales pitch. So I hope that works. You could buy it at rootlesscoffee.com. See, I feel like I sound so insincere when I say that. Just buy the fucking, like, it's rootless. It's a high anxiety coffee. You can sip it. You can be as worried as I am because but sometimes I like it. Oh, sure. Sometimes it gives me anxiety, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't have a morning without it. You know what I mean? It makes me whole. It makes my being whole again. And I hope that makes sense. I go from a coarse grind of the day into a whole bean again. All right. Does that make any sense? You'll just buy the fucking coffee, or don't buy it. I mean, no, just buy it, but don't make, you guys make a big deal out of it. If you like it, like, share it, do whatever. But I'm trying to, you know, whatever. I like it. I have my name on it and I like it, and that's it. And it's high anxiety and I am in the middle of it. Okay. And, you know, one day there may be a boy, if this thing takes off, there may be a boy who goes to a hockey game Saturday morning and he looks over and his father's taking him to the game and he is slurping high anxiety coffee and he has great repulsion towards his father, which to me is the circle of life. This has been more content with RJ City.